So geologists are looking for a rock formation to drive their golden spike into. Now let's meet endocrinologist Kathleen Hunt at Northern Arizona University. She is looking for markers of climate change in a totally different place.
It looks exactly like the hair of a horse's tail. That's really what it's most similar to. But most of the hairs are embedded in a sort of a strong, flexible substance. It almost looks like the same kind of consistency maybe as a horse's hoof.
What? Are you confused yet? All right, what she is talking about is baleen. It grows from the mouths of bowhead whales, and it's a bit like Venetian blinds instead of teeth. The baleen is bristly, made up of keratin, and it works like a giant strainer to help the whales catch food. Like a fingernail, it grows from the top and rubs off at the tip, and it contains information about the whales' lives. Researchers have used it for years to analyze what whales ate, which gives them clues about migration patterns. But then Kathleen Hunt and her colleagues found more puzzle pieces in there.
It turns out that hormones are laid down in the baleen while the baleen's growing. Reproductive hormones and stress hormones, too.
For example, in whales that were sighted with calves in years before they died, a record of their pregnancy can be found in the baleen in the form of a spike in progesterone. And now Kathleen is trying to piece together the many factors that contribute to whale stress, both natural and man-made.
There's definitely some normal things that cause stress. A big one is reproduction. Females usually have an increase in stress hormone when they're pregnant. But you would expect, or I expect, that stress hormones and cortisol in particular should come down after those reproductive events and should be relatively low in a healthy female who's not pregnant and not lactating. What I'm really interested in finding out is whether we see cortisol zoom up again in non-pregnant, non-lactating animals when they encounter entanglements from fishing gear or when they run into food shortages. One thing I'm looking at is particularly, does the cortisol go up in whales that are more exposed to those kinds of human events? Another thing I'm quite interested in seeing is, do they breed less often? We can figure out how long they take between calves and if there are periods when they skip a breeding cycle, when they should have gotten pregnant and didn't.
How are whales impacted by both human activity and also by climate change?
When you look at large whales out at sea and when you follow them over many years, there's two impacts that are very obvious. One is net entanglement and the other is being struck by ships. Those are actually really large problems right now. Really, they really do affect the animals quite a bit. They're a large source of mortality. And both those problems have been increasing, especially net entanglement. However, there are also subtler problems that are unfolding gradually over a much larger time scale. Climate change is one of those. It's harder to see the impact of it, but we are starting to see animals shift their ranges quite a lot. Foraging grounds have already changed. A lot of whale populations are moving where they forage in the summers. It's harder for us to find them, in fact, because they're no longer coming to the areas that they used to come. That has made a lot of whale biologists suspect that the way climate change may affect these animals is really in changes in food availability.
So this baleen, given how difficult whales are to study, to track down, to even see at times, it seems like this baleen really offers a lot of insight into their lives.
I am tremendously excited about the baleen, and here's why. It is so hard to get even a single data point, even one sighting in several years for any individual whale. And I, in the past, have felt really lucky if I could get a single sample from an animal every 2 years, or even just to get repeated samples at all, to get two samples at all over an entire 15-year long-term study, two samples from the same animal was a coup. Suddenly, I find that baleen has these continuous hormone records. I've got baleen plates sitting in my lab, and I will pick up one sometimes. Even now, I'm still doing it. I'll pick up one, and I'll look at it, and I'll think, there's 12 years continuous data from a single animal, everything that happened to it, week by week by week by week, over years, all its calving events, every time it was stressed. Testosterone cycles, I think in males, we might be able to pick up from male baleen. It's incredibly exciting, and I think we're going to be able to learn so much more than we've really ever been able to learn before. So I'm, as you can probably hear, I'm really excited about it. I think it's going to be a wonderful research topic.
Kathleen Hunt is a researcher at Northern Arizona University, and she told me that a lot of natural history museums around the country have baleen from whales that died a long time ago. So she will analyze that baleen too, and she says she'll be able to really tell what kind of changes have happened.